Hi, this is Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. This is Tisha Mullen. I'm with UNL. I think I'm the only one on the line so far. I think Sue will call in just a moment.
Oh, okay. Great. So you're in Lincoln then, huh?
I am. I work for the Proposal Development Office here at University of Nebraska, Lincoln, so I'm helping Sue pull this proposal together.
I see. Okay. Good.
And we're so glad you agreed to provide an external review.
Yeah, I'm very happy to do it. I sent to Sue just very recently, like 15 minutes ago, the proposal with some track changes, using the track changes function, some thoughts, suggestions, ideas, questions about the proposal.
Excellent.
That might be a useful way to organize our time. And are you also working with University of Minnesota, or is that more what Sue's doing?
That's more what Sue's doing.
I see.
Yeah. That looks like she might just have forwarded me what you sent. I just checked my email.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I'm going to print that off right now, so I have a copy.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
Hello, is anybody on yet?
Yeah, this is Kimberly.
Kimberly, hi. This is Sue.
Hi, Sue. I'm here, too. This is Tisha.
Tisha, hi. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for all of your help with this, Kimberly. We really appreciate it. I just got the email and printed it off, and looks like we have lots to talk about.
Okay.
It's excellent. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, I'm happy to do it. And I figured that you wanted me to be as critical as possible.
Absolutely. That's right. Sounds like somebody just joined us.
Hi there, this is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
We have Kimberly Hogwood on the line and Tisha from Prem's office.
Great.
Hi.
Hi.
And I think Lisa Kanoki is going to be joining us too, so we could wait another minute if we wanted to do that.
Okay.
Carolyn and Tisha, did you get the email that I forwarded you?
Yep, I'm just printing off a copy.
Okay.
Here.
Oh,
great.
I don't know. Let me check.
And Carolyn, what's your role in this, just so I have a better frame?
I'm a key investigator on this grant. I've
okay.
been reading all the drafts of it.
She'll be working, too, with the intervention.
I'm working on the
core.
Intervention.
Okay.
Sciences
great.
Unit. Sue Sheridan. Okay.
Got it?
I just said just a reminder.
Oh. There should be one other one that was just forwarded. It has an attachment, the draft. Kimberly sent her comments
okay,
ahead of time.
Like
and Kimberly, just one last point to make sure it's okay with you. We are taping this if it's okay.
Okay, sure.
Sandy Christensen could not be on the call today, but we're digitally recording it and then we can post it so she can take a look, so she can listen to it when she returns to her university.
Okay, sure, that's fine.
Do you know Sandy? Kimberly?
Okay, I've got the new version.
Okay. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and get started, and I think Lisa will be joining us. I am not sure the best way to approach this. We did have a conference call with John Reed the other day, and you know, he, too, provided us with some very helpful and critical feedback. And our approach was basically just to kind of walk through it. He gave some big picture, general kinds of comments sort of at the beginning and at the tail end. And you're more than welcome to do that, Kimberly, and then we can, you know, kind of go through some of the main points as you saw them.
Yeah,
if you think that's worthwhile.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't I talk about sort of three big picture issues that I see with this, and then I tried to be fairly specific about the questions that I had. And that I would have if I were a reviewer.
Yes.
And that's really the way I read it. And we can go through those so I can sort of explain my thought process and what kinds of things were triggering, what kinds of issues in my mind, and that may be helpful. So I think I was at NIMH for 10 years, and I sat in a lot of reviews. Mm-hmm. And so that has given me a perspective about the way in which grants are seen by reviewers from different disciplinary foundations, it's also given me a fairly good sense about the way in which different research grant mechanisms fit together and not. And so at what point is it useful to have a center? At what point are projects ready for something else? So I have that sort of background as well. And then, of course, I have a developing center. So I'm coming at it from sort of this multiple standpoints. My first big question, really, is whether you have a center here or not, whether what you've got and the work that you've accumulated is best positioned for a center application or better positioned for some other support, some other mechanism. And I raise that not because I have an answer to it, but because I think it is worthwhile to think further about. The developing centers are generally used when there's a body of intellectual work that needs to be brought together, that has been separated out either historically or because of tradition or because of just the nature of research work, and where there's an opportunity to pull together different groups of people working on different aspects of a core problem and be able to have a little bit more flexibility in developing a field. I don't think you've made the argument yet as to why a center is needed given the work that you've got. It's not clear how or why Minnesota is involved in this. And so when I see developing center and I see two academic settings, and I see a steering committee and I see a community advisory board, but I don't see representatives from the school board, I don't see representatives from the Department of Education at either of the states. You know, I don't see some of those other groups being pulled together, and I know this is going to be focused on schools. It just raises a lot of questions for me about why a center.
Okay.
And so that's really the first issue, and I can talk more about the PRC and the work that you've done, but much of what you've done, which I think is really impressive, particularly the work that you describe in the Principal Research Corps, could be very well positioned for an R34 or an R01 or some other mechanisms. So I think that's just something to keep in mind. The second issue has to do with the level of specificity. The first part of the proposal reads very much like it would be going to SAMHSA or to Center for Mental Health Services, not to NIMH. So when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, well, what's the research question? What is the research aim? What kind of data are there to support some of these statements? And there were a number of places that I flagged where there weren't any answers to those issues in my mind. And so I felt as though in the beginning of this, the overall description and then the other sections, the background section and the operations core and even the data management core, you're sort of at 30,000 feet, you know, a very, very general level and need to get down into much more specificity. I felt like when you got to the Principal Research Corps, there was more specificity there, and I was looking for that to be tied back into the front part of the proposal. So in terms of the research aims, they're very broad, and I think you'd want to think about much more specificity, sort of scientific specificity. In terms of this question of partnership, that's obviously a key component of what it is you're trying to accomplish here, but that's not really well defined. And because in the mental health field we use these terms so nebulously, I think you've got a lot of work that you've done, and again, when I got to the PRC piece, I could see, well, you know, there's a lot of work that's already been done to that out, but it's not coming through in the first part of this at all, and so it sets off a bunch of red flags saying, you know, this just sounds loosey-goosey, this sounds ideological, it doesn't sound scientific.
Okay.
So that was the second sort of big issue, and then the third is making the argument about the cumulative impact of the work that's already been done, and it was confusing for me to figure out why you needed qualitative studies if some of these models, these partnership or collaborative parent-school models, have been developed fairly well, and I think they have, although I'm not completely sure, then it seemed as though you were making an argument for there's already been a lot of work done and now we want to implement it. But then the pilot studies were more of a backtracking into we need to do qualitative work and focus group work in order to understand some of the core components of our model. So I couldn't figure out what's the scientific cumulative impact of the projects that have been done so far that are leading to this center and to the studies that are coming. It wasn't clear what that sequence is or will be. And that's, I think that's a really important for this. It's not clear if this is really focused on intervention development, even though it says, you know, you have that in there quite a bit, it's intervention center, whether it's focused on implementation itself, which would presuppose that you've got an intervention already that's been well tested and you're ready to move it out into some different settings. So that sort of core focus of where's the science going on this, what do we already know, what are we building, and what direction is this all moving, wasn't clear. And so that was sort of the third big issue. Maybe I should just stop there and see if there are any questions about that before we sort of delve into the stuff that I've put in the tracking.
Okay. Well, our intent, and this is really helpful, our intent was to take what has been developed and test it in some contexts and to broaden it in a couple of ways. One, into a broader base of a partnership orientation that really does sort of follow more of a prevention framework with a multi-tiered approach. We know a lot about a particular model that could be conceptualized as that targeted level intervention, this consultation approach with families and teachers, in terms of outcomes and in terms of some of the general perceptions and social validity of the model. What we want to do is learn from that and extend it to the universal, more broadly, I kind of extend it back upward to the universal level so that we're taking what we're learning about what really does constitute effective, meaningful partnerships, broaden it to be more accessible to families and schools. And that work hasn't been done, nor have we been able to really look at the effects of this consultation framework in the context of a more organized, systematic mental health approach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm hearing you say that the message isn't coming through, and our communication of that is more disjointed than it is clear. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, this consultation framework, I think, is really important, and it is something that, you know, you and your group, I think, have done probably the best work of anyone in the country. But that is not going to be familiar to the people who will be reviewing this. I can just tell you flat out, they're not going to know about that stuff. The people who will be reviewing this are going to be your more traditional mental health prevention researchers who are familiar with universal programs such as good behavior game, classroom management strategies, those kinds of broader preventive interventions. Who will be familiar with all of the risk factor work, you know, targeting, identifying kids who have risk for various things, and who will be familiar with some more targeted interventions that have been delivered in the schools, the Greenberg's PATH program or something like that. But they're not going to be very familiar with a consultation model and the kind of efficacy data on that I think you have developed. So. And this notion of moving from the targeted back into the universal, I think, is a very interesting idea. And it's also a different direction from the way in which most of the work has gone. So I think if that's if you want to, first of all, you're starting with schools. That is also unusual. We don't have any centers that are focused really on schools. Mark Atkins is putting one in, and his would be the first if it gets funded. So that's one issue. But highlighting the fact that you're focusing on schools, you're focusing on a consultation intervention that has been shown to have certain effects, and with kids who are already high need, and that you want to back that up into a school-wide program. I think that's an interesting framework, and that's the kind of thing that you'd need to spell out real clearly.
Okay.
If I'm getting it right, and I don't know if I am, but
yeah, absolutely.
I think that we're saying that the idea of working in partnership with the parents as opposed to an expert model is difficult to do and has probably been achieved most successfully in schools in the consultation model. And so back it down into the more universal work that the teachers do with children in the classroom so that it's more preventive and reaches more families. And then, but also back it up or knock it up to the third level, the third tier. So on the three-tier, it's trying to integrate the three-tier model with a partnership approach as opposed to an expert model of working with families.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important idea. What it suggests, though, is that you need to think about the different ways in which working with families is going to be challenging at the different levels. So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is the way in which this connection with the families is going to happen for kids at different levels of need? What are the models for supporting that? And how are those models going to well, to what end? That is, are we trying to improve the kid outcomes as a result of this? Are we trying to improve just parents' connection with schools and that, therefore their commitment to learning? Are we trying to change the school context? I mean, I think that issue of what are we trying to assess as the outcome is an important one.
Is it okay if I interrupt there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We might not know the answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I get, I think that's fair. I sure don't know the answers to those questions. But then the issue is, what piece of this do you want to study? And what are the main questions that you think can be answered given two pilot studies? So in other words, maybe trying to link all three of those levels in the school, all of the tiers, and connections with families at all of those levels, with maybe meeting different models, is too big.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it would make more sense to focus in on, maybe building off of the targeted level where it sounds like you've done much of your work, and looking at what would be the next adaptation of that with families that might fit within the second level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the best way to do it, but I think it's so big right now, and there are so many scientific agendas that are mushed together in here that I think it's going to be confusing for the reviewers. This whole notion, just as an example. So what we've been doing in New York City is developing a kind of parent empowerment model for working with parent coordinators who are either coming from the mental health system or from schools or in some cases from the child welfare system. And we've spent, a number of years trying to develop that empowerment education support program for the parent coordinators who are the first point of contact with the families. There's so many questions just in this one study that we're we're finding out when we're trying to put this into a particular school system, the role of the parent coordinators, how that's defined by the schools, how the nature of the relationship that they can have with the families versus what we would like them to have. You know, there are a whole slew of questions about the model, and so that's just one NIMH-funded study, an R34, and it's only focused on parent coordinator function with one particular connection point with one particular group of schools. So I think you're trying to do too much, I guess is what I'm saying. I think this issue around connection and connection with parents and the consultation and support that is needed is really, really important. And I love it. I just think trying to put that into all three levels and trying to investigate what that partnership means may be too big.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I don't know what part of it you want to cut, you know, you want to focus in on. I think there are lots of different possibilities here. But I think it's right now it's just big.
Part of our dilemma, Kimberly, is really trying to fit the NIMH agenda.
Yeah.
And we really, I mean, that's why we started where we did with a prevention framework, you know, really focusing on models for children's mental health, and reading the program announcement, trying to understand what they were wanting.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because you know, it talks about a problem-focused orientation and really, you know, having an orientation toward the mental health issues that children are experiencing. Well, we really do come at this more from, you know, sort of early intervention, not specific to any one disorder or, you know, area of psychopathology, but really kind of the partnership around supporting the context within which children are developing to prevent the ongoing development of some disorders. So I think part of it is just trying to fit with the agenda.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing you say is that we need to take a piece of it and not try to do it all.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you should also know, you know, it's probably helpful, even though you may not really want to hear it, but the truth of the matter is NIMH is in some ways getting out of the prevention business. You know, they have had a very, very ambivalent relationship to prevention for a number of years. And to be, you know, perfectly straight with you, prevention grants are having a very hard time getting through, in part because you've got a director who's a basic neuroscientist, you have division directors who are not focused on prevention. It's not clear the extent to which it is within the mental health purview as defined by NIH. I mean, it obviously is. We all know that. But NIH has their buckets, and things that are prevention, they would like very much to hand off to NICHD and not have to deal with it because it's a little hard for them to justify it to their constituent groups.
Mm-hmm.
So prevention is a hard, is a bit of a hard one to tackle under any circumstances. I think that the consultation, the family connectedness issue, could be a very good inroad. I think working in the schools and having, you know, a group such as yourselves who have the expertise and the credibility in the schools is also a plus. But it's not going to be an easy one to sell for those reasons I just mentioned.
Okay. Well, if we focus, I mean, consultation interventions could be framed clearly as an intervention for, in fact, that's why it's really kind of indicated at the targeted or the individualized level, because it's really responsive to the development and manifestation of problems as they're beginning to present.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think you need to cite that literature more, because that's exactly why, you know, prevention got started to begin with, was for those very reasons and that important work.
But we could play that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think you'd want to.
Okay. Okay.
should we start working through some of these specific or the red flag kinds of things that you've indicated in the manuscript then?
Yeah, why don't we do that? And it'll basically reflect on some of the issues that I've just raised. So this opening paragraph is where you need a really strong scientific leading edge. And it's got to be both scientific and public health. So you've got to be saying why this center is needed and why it's pulling together different bodies of work or bodies of thinking that are going to be able to take our science base on prevention and, in this case, children's mental health to a different level. So this first one, the development of a feasible, effective, partnership-oriented model, that's not going to go anywhere because it sounds like it's just SAMHSA. It doesn't sound like there's any science to it. So I think you've got to focus on the research goals. And then the second one is almost too narrow, the identification of variables affecting delivery. Well, you know, that sounds like just a methods piece that could be embedded into a pilot study. So the first one's too big and the second one's too little, sort of what it means.
So a scientific goal then would be to test or do some preliminary tests of a partnership-oriented model.
That's right.
Okay.
And the figure was very hard to read. That's just a editorial thing. Because you do talk about intervention development, if that's what you're planning to do, then I think talking about the sort of you'd want to put that right up front. So you'd need to have something about development of an intervention designed to target X, Y, and Z, to target family connectedness to schools with the goal of enhancing student outcomes. I'm just making this up, but something like that. If intervention development isn't what you want to do and instead you're really looking at more of an implementation process, how do we take a model and implement it in other school systems or at other levels of the school system, then I think you need to mention that up front.
Okay.
But the next paragraph, the proposed center, will be the first intervention center. Those first two aims aren't clear that they're talking about an intervention, and so that sort of raises questions as to what the focus is. You want after the first three pages, you want the reviewer to have a clear sense about where this is going, why it matters, why it's scientifically needed. You know, what are the scientific issues here that need to be resolved so that there can be a better system for kids and families, so that there can be a better public health system. And so the first three pages are, you know, the ones you'll need to be worked on probably the most, because you got to get aims that are crisp, clear, realistic, feasible, and clearly positioned scientifically to move the field forward. Then this question about partnership I have in the second paragraph, not sure what you mean by partnership. I think it is very important to define that. These words are just used so broadly, and so it's obviously a core construct, but who are the partners with this? Is it families and teachers? Is it families, teachers, school support, staff? It could be all of the above, but if what you're trying to do is build a collaborative model and you want to test a collaborative intervention, then I think that could be doable. You'd want to look at some of the work that's come out of the HIV AIDS group, where they've built in some fairly sophisticated ways of constructing these collaborative advisory boards and these collaborative processes and even testing the collaboration. So I don't know that that's necessarily where you want to go, but what I'm saying is that there are a lot of nuances to what constitutes a partnership or a collaboration, and being specific about what it means in your case, I think, is really important.
Okay. Okay. What we're talking about throughout this is really the family school, family professional partnership.
Okay.
Not so much partnerships. I mean, I know it's related, but we're not dealing with this directly. Is partnerships between, for example, universities and school systems to co-create these models, or departments of education and universities and schools to implement models and programs and alter the way that services are being provided and that sort of thing. That's not really the kind of partnership that we are dealing with here.
Right. We're
talking very much about the ground level family school connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I think you just need to be really explicit about that. When people, reviewers will be reading this, they'll think, well, are you talking about a PTA? Well, no, you're not. Are you talking about a particular role within the school? You know, like what I was talking about with parent coordinators, who are people who have a specific role as the interface agent with families. But I think identifying what that means, so it's families, and is it families of kids with emotional mental health problems, or are families of kids no matter what they have? And who in the school are we talking about? Is it with the principal? Is it with the, principal, et cetera?
Okay, got it.
Then under rationale, goal, specific aims, there were a lot of missing citations and statements that I think, I certainly agree with in principle, but when the statements are made without the sort of data to back it up, then it makes people wonder, is this going to be appropriate for NIMH or not? So I basically flagged a lot of those where I was saying, well, this sounds good, but what's the data to back it up?
Right. Okay.
The issue around the schools, I think you should really highlight that. That's a big deal. And that's really important. The NIMH portfolio, if you just go on the CRISP NIH service, you're not going to see a lot of studies in schools. And yet, for years people have said we need more of those. So I think it's a major thing for you to be coming from school psychology and be working in in this area.
Okay.
So I guess, let's see, the rest of that paragraph is pretty much the same kind of thing, substantiating the statements, being specific about the kinds of collaborations. I think that the different issues that are included here, investigations are needed to understand variables that influence families' likelihood to engage as partners in supporting their child's mental health, variables that contribute to professionals' abilities to engage in partnerships, explore conditions that influence partnerships and implementation, determine mechanisms. That's, each one of those is an RO1.
Uh-huh.
Every one of those. And so, I'm with you. We need it all. There's no question about it. We need it all. But in terms of, putting in a proposal to NIMH to do some studies of this, you're going to have to select which of these you want to study, because literally any one of these could be a research grant. This question of the likelihood to engage as partners, well, then we're getting into families' attitudes, expectancies, some of the attribution literature. There's a whole behavior change literature that would be relevant here, and that would be a fascinating set of questions to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions that influence partnerships and in implementation intervention, that can get into a lot of work on school climate and organizational issues and some of the broader system issues. Again, that's very important, but that's a whole set of studies. So I would just caution you against trying to put too much into here. You're going to have a stronger application if you focus on just a couple of these.
Okay, that's very helpful.
The specific aim one, basically a similar issue, establishing effective partnership practices. Well, you don't know if it's going to be effective or not. What you're going to be doing is examining components of it to see what what are the core components of partnering, or maybe you're trying to develop a partnership intervention or a collaborative intervention that will improve X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
so
well,
it's,
that was my misinterpretation of the program announcement. I think, as we talked about it here, we were differentiating aims of the center versus the aims of the pilot studies.
Yeah.
Aims of the center are not research aims. That's not how we constructed them. I recognize the difference for sure.
Yeah.
But the research aims really are articulated as such more in relation to the pilot studies.
Yes.
But you're saying that our center aims need to be research-oriented.
Yeah, yeah, it all needs to be research-oriented, even though, you know, the center aims are going to be somewhat broader because you're going to have, you know, the overarching aim may be to enhance knowledge about collaborative processes of linking families to schools. You know, it could be something broad like that, but then even within the center, it's going to be to further develop methods for examining the robustness of family connections, or, you know, I'm just making this up, but you can have an overarching aim, which is more public health, but then the aims of the center still need to be scientifically positioned, and then the aims of the pilot studies, you know, obviously are going to be the real specific research aims.
Okay. Okay. That's really helpful.
So I think I have basically the same kinds of comments here with each of these aims. Conduct preliminary research, identifying factors that influence. I mean, of course it's research because this is going to NIMH. It's a research grant, so I would say that's too broad. But what are you going to be doing?
Okay.
What types, if you're going to be using novel methods, you might want to give some examples. Often these, you know, parentheses, e.g., and some examples can really help ground the reviewer in what you're talking about.
Okay.
And then the fourth aim, sustainable connections. You know, we all want that, but even studies of what constitutes sustainability, that is a set of projects in and of itself. And so if you wanted to focus on sustainability, that would be a different kind of center. I'm not sure that's what you want to focus on.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then I just have some questions about the issues around resilience and strength-based and competencies. I think is really important. It's another, though, example of where you're going to be running up against a different culture at NIMH. They're not there yet. And so I think the extent to which you want to make a case for focusing on that versus you know, subsuming that, making that somewhat more secondary is a decision point for you. But you should be aware of the fact that it's not the research based on resilience and competencies and strength-based, insofar as it exists, and it has not made its way into the NIMH reviewers' literatures by and large.
Yeah. And it might not even be perceived as that rigorous.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the other issue.
I understand that.
Then on, I guess it's page 3, the end of the paragraph right before 1BI, it's another example of you squished a lot into one paragraph. And so I would just caution you about trying to cover too much in the way of this background. So, you know, you've got young children experiencing mental health problems and suspension rates, and then, you know, the number of kids with mental health problems in juvenile justice system, and then unmet need.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in racial diversity, et cetera. It's just too much to try to cover, and it's not clear why it's there.
Okay.
Let's see. And then the school is the second primary system responsible for. It's critical methods to integrate. It wasn't clear to me what the line of argument was. You say it's critical to that methods to integrate these into all systems. I'm trying to find the verb there. It is critical that methods to integrate family schools. Foster shared goals. I guess the point is I'm just not sure what the line of argument is. It sounds like you're making an argument for why family engagement or collaboration can be important. And I think, you know, insofar as you want to bring to bear the literature on the way in which families' involvement and support for school for kids' learning helps to keep them in school, helps to, you know, promote healthy development, et cetera, that would be great. But you need to bring in the science here.
Right. Okay.
Then right before 1B2, before partnership approaches, I have a few questions about tone. And it basically, this was just my coming from the standpoint of it sounds a little advocacy-like. You know, we believe, we are in favor of, et cetera. And I think you want to back away from that.
Okay.
And just present the science.
Okay.
More about citations and substantiation and data. I think Lar Quang's work on with the stigma was, you know, well written, but it's not really the best work necessarily to cite. Steve Hinshaw has done some interesting work on stigma. Bernice Pesco-Solito has just published a series of articles about stigma in psychiatric services. So I'm just saying that, you know, you be helpful to use the citations that are going to be familiar.
Okay.
The theoretical foundation, you know, I guess I felt as though this one was okay and it would probably cut the mustard, but you could probably come up with something that would be of a little bit more, I don't know, a little more interest. I mean, Bronfenbrenner is wonderful and everybody uses them, but on the other hand, given all the work that you've done, and especially when I got to what you've done in the PRC, you might want to think about the theoretical foundation a little bit more, because I think having a conceptual model that's going to talk about this linkage could be a real contribution that your group could make.
Okay. Right, and we're trying to come up with some kind of a conceptual, a graphic.
Yes, yeah.
And we're not there yet.
Yeah. I think the other comments about tone and substantiation are pretty self-evident. I guess then in the operations core, that was where I thought you'd want to say more about why Nebraska and Minnesota. Because if the operations core is going to be effective, it's going to be that glue, it's that administrative glue to connect all of the pieces of all of the projects and all of the places where anything is going on. And so I didn't see anything really real clear about the contribution that Minnesota is going to make here. I know you have it later on. I did read that. But I thought you needed to, if you're going to have that kind of partnership, you need to make the argument for why you need it. If you're not, and you're going to have some other kind of partnering group, then this is where you lay out what units are going to be working on what, and critically for a center is how it's all linked. The main thing that gets these centers to go down in flames is the lack of integration, where it looks like there are disparate pieces and it's not clear how everything is leading to the same central set of aims. And I've seen more of these go down in flames because of that than anything else.
Okay.
You mean the actual centers or the proposals?
Well, the proposals, I should say. The proposals during the review, they don't get anywhere because the argument for how the pieces are integrated isn't clear.
Mm-hmm.
The centers themselves, nobody's really studied what happens with them. So I think, you know, and using names, I put page 7, it's helpful to provide names when known. Name dropping, unfortunately, is very is very useful because it helps to ground people into who's doing what.
Okay. Yeah, we've struggled a little bit with the Nebraska-Minnesota thing, not because we don't know why we're trying to come together, but how we can articulate it and then how we can make it work within a center context or a center format that's, you know, across the university, I mean, it's multi-site.
So we are working on that. We do recognize that.
Yeah, okay. Just before number three, you talk about implementation to advisory boards for examining implementation processes and outcomes, but you haven't really talked about implementation processes or outcomes yet. And so there again, if that would be a particular focus of the center that you may or may not want to pursue, but that I see is different from implementation or intervention development. And so I think you have to decide, is this developing interventions and testing them in sort of broader and broader contexts or in different with different partners or settings, or are you really talking about taking some model and trying to study that implementation process? Those are different.
Yes. Can I ask a question at this point, Kimberly?
Oh, sure.
Do you have a sense for which of those two approaches, I know there are other approaches, but just in terms of that example, which of those approaches would be more palatable to NIMH or to the reviewers?
Well, either of them would be palatable. It's more a question of where you think the science base is on the models that you've been working on. And I'm not familiar enough with them, and I haven't read all the, you know, the literature on it to be able to answer that. But generally, implementation studies are when you've got a series of randomized trials on a particular intervention that are pretty consistently showing positive effects. And that intervention can be a treatment, or it can be a preventive program. It can be a classroom management kind of thing. It could be almost anything, but it is a thing. It's an entity. It's been manualized, standardized, tested, et cetera. And the question now is, how do we move it from where it has been examined into a different set of contexts or settings?
Okay.
And that's where you study that process of the embedding it in different settings and studying the process of its uptake and its adoption, et cetera. The intervention development is where you're still developing the intervention, you know, or there's some interesting components of it that some parts of it have been shown to be effective, but other parts you're not sure about, or you're trying to understand the mechanisms or the core components that are driving the change process. So that's where you'd need an intervention development.
Are both types equally likely to be well received?
It depends on what science base they're coming out of. I mean, yes, if it's justified in terms of what work has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In terms of priorities, both are equally needed. There are a whole group of areas where we need interventions to be developed, you know, de novo. Where we're not ready to be studying the implementation process. So there's a huge amount of work to be done for intervention development. On the other hand, there's also a huge amount to be done for where there are interventions that we can be pretty confident have some positive impact, then getting those out is a huge scientific agenda and a very important one, and that's also a priority. So either one, depending on where the science is around the work you've already done. And what you think are the critical next steps.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why we framed the first pilot study the way we did. Now, I would like your impression on a study that's largely qualitative. But we know a lot about outcomes for children and families who are working on this consultation framework, and teachers and classrooms for that matter. We're doing a lot of work in that area, and we are... you know, we have a lot of data to suggest that this model can be very effective in producing certain types of outcomes, but the mechanisms behind that and the aspects of the model that seem to be most operative and that consumers or stakeholders, for lack of a better word, are really benefiting from, we have very little, if any, data on that. And so that's where we wanted to really look more using a model or an approach that would provide more depth to understanding perspectives, experiences, impressions, that sort of thing, would be the next step prior then to trying to move it back up to scale.
Yeah.
So know that it doesn't work for everyone. It doesn't work equally well in every context. Context really matters here a lot. And so understanding, and when we're talking about families, there's so much we need to know about family dynamics that
interact with the practices and the services we're providing, we just don't have a very good research base behind that.
And so, you know, that would suggest that you're trying to refine and further develop the intervention itself.
Yes, and really there's, as far as clinical trials are concerned, we're in the middle of one right now that's funded by IES, but most of the research has not been generated or data have not been generated from large-scale randomized clinical trials.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't sound like implementation is really the way to go yet. It sounds like you're more in the developing and refining and further enhancing the intervention component itself, understanding what how it is viewed by different stakeholders, understanding what are the sort of core driving elements of it that seem to lead to change, understanding the change process itself.
Right. But not necessarily only in relation to one approach or one consultation model either. The whole notion of how to connect with families and how to engage families meaningfully, because that's such an important access issue.
Yes.
That was the other. So it sounds like we need to do some rethinking about, in particular, that second pilot study.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the consultation model you have right now does involve families, right?
Yes, in a significant way.
Yeah, and it's families of kids with what kinds of problems?
We have pretty good data on children with behavioral, social, emotional, and academic concerns.
Okay.
But from a range of, some children with, you know, formal diagnoses, others with educational, classification statuses, a range of severity. We have data on, families and children from diverse backgrounds. We've had a number of different grants supporting work in this area, none specific to NIH, although we are collecting quite a bit of data on an NICHD study that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is one piece of a broader intervention.
Yeah. So the purpose of the first pilot is to understand from the family's perspective what their experiences were like during consultation?
Yes, and teachers for that matter, too.
Teachers, okay.
And in cases where people are not participating, non-completers is what we're calling them here. Typically, when people are getting involved, when individuals do begin the process, they stay with it. There's elements of it that they really do like. And the reporting that the data that we do have, based on paper pencil instruments and primarily some purely quantitative outcome data, is very, very positive.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what, even when the behavioral outcomes aren't all that compelling.
Yeah.
So there's something about, and we think it has to do with the connection, the partnership, the engagement, and validation that occurs when these significant parties are interacting and collaborating and really working very intently on a shared goal and mutual priorities.
Yeah, I mean, it could be there are a lot of sort of interpersonal processes that are very rewarding, the issues of trust,
exactly.
Of feeling supported and feeling not blamed, that's something we hear a lot, that sometimes the first time families feel like they're not being blamed is when they can talk to the parent coordinator.
Yeah.
And have all of the steps of this consultation model been laid out so you could walk somebody through it?
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
Step by step, yeah. Well, then, I think the way you're describing it, it sounds like that first pilot study to understand what is it that seems to be meaningful to families and teachers, and what is it that they like, and what parts of it were most helpful, and at what point was there sort of a you know, a point at which they started to feel as though this was something they wanted to stick with, you know.
Right.
What would make it better? You know, all those things, to me, that makes very good sense, and I would see that then as something you could fold into a second pilot, which wouldn't be so much on implementation, but rather on testing this enhanced revised model out with a different group of families and schools. So in other words, based on the input you get, presumably you would be able to strengthen those components that seem to be most meaningful to families, or you'd find other ways of measuring that process. Maybe there's a measurement development piece that could be built in.
Oh, you know, we talked about that as a pilot study too.
That'd be great. I mean, that's really important, because we're just up against it when it comes to measuring these kinds of processes.
Okay.
So maybe that's a second study.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one thing that our research methods core really wants to do, and we have quite a bit of expertise here in measurement with, you know, IRT experts, and we're looking into the computerized assisted testing. Which is, and with, you know, Burroughs mental measurements folks are here on our campus.
Yes.
And we have a very good relationship with them. And
yeah.
Measurement expertise here.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. I think that'd be really innovative. I mean, that's a very would be a very innovative direction to take.
Okay.
I'm going to have to, unfortunately, get off in 5 minutes. I have another call. I think, though, we've covered most everything that I wanted to raise here.
Okay. If I could ask.
Sure.
In your experience, Kimberly, how do qualitative studies go over? Not very well.
And the truth is, there are ethnographers and qualitative researchers now on the review group, which is good. So the good news is that there is more openness to it. But what that means is that there's a lot of attention to the rigor of the qualitative methods, and they almost always get bashed unless you've really done a careful job of talking about how the data will be collected, how it's going to be used, how it's going to be analyzed. I think you do a lot of that here, actually. I mean, this is one of the stronger qualitative write-ups I've seen. But you should be, you know, look at the people who are going to be reviewing it. Get a list of their names.
Okay.
It's all public. And identify who the anthropologist or ethnographer or qualitative researcher is on the group, and read their stuff, and, you know, just be familiar with that, because it is always a question.
Okay. Do you have any sense on whether or not these will be reannounced? Because this is expiring in 2007.
I'm pretty sure it will. Yeah, this is a pretty innovative kind of center announcement. The centers are unlikely to go away. There's a new division director who's going to want to keep them going. And developing centers are, you know, the sort of first step to the advanced centers. So I think it's going to be around. That's just my guess, but I might have gotten wind if they were thinking of shutting it down, and I really doubt it.
Okay. Okay. Carolyn or Lisa or Tisha, does anyone have any questions? I know, Kimberly, we're sensitive to your time, so we'll let you go here in just a second.
No, but I've really learned a lot from this discussion.
Yeah,
thank you
for your comments.
Oh, very happy to do it. The other thing, I was just going through my some of my notes here. The other thing that you talk a little bit about, but you may want to think some more about it, is this issue of fidelity. Particularly if you're going to be focusing more on an intervention development and the first study to gather information from the families and teachers about it, thinking about how that could be built into measuring and tracking fidelity, I think is going to be really important. That's always a big issue for these kinds of studies, and increasingly so.
Okay, that's very helpful. Okay, but the idea, the concept, is an okay one?
Yeah, I think the idea is good. It's just it's too big and needs to come down. And I think you still might want to think about whether a center versus some other mechanism, because there's a lot here that you could do just with the pilot studies, the intervention, the pilot study one that we were talking about, and intervention development. And as a further enhancement of that, in an R34 mechanism. That's what they're set up to do. And so you know, whether you really want to make this a center versus focus in on those pilot studies and do that with just an R mechanism, which gives you somewhat more flexibility and not as many demands,
is an
issue you may just want to think about.
That's very helpful. Well, thank you very, very much, Kimberly. We sure appreciate all of your insight and your expertise, and just I know the time that you took to read this carefully and to provide a real critical eye. We do appreciate it very much.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to do it, and so just feel free to let me know if you have other thoughts or questions as you're working on this. Feel free to send me emails or anything.
Oh, thank you very much. We won't tax you too much more, but we do appreciate the offer.
Sure thing. No problem.
Take care now.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye.